Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
It's 7:30 in Trinidad and Tobago. As I said to you all, we're discussing something that affects everyone. The price of fresh produce. They've been up and down. They've been all over the place. And joining us here this morning, somebody who's in more ways than one, as welcome to our program, President of the Sills Farmers Support Group, it's Bindra Maharaj. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning to everybody out there.
Nice to have you with us here this morning. It's a topic that just recently was a household topic because it was affecting everything. When you have to eat, you had to buy, and some people found it very difficult because of the prices. You're here representing the Sills Farmer Support Group. Before we get to that, tell us a bit about yourself and some of the things that you're involved in.
Basically, I'm the president of the Sills Farmer Support Group. This group is a lobby group, basically, to assist farmers. Farmers in Trinidad and Tobago just never had proper representation. They now have. We have taken this representation to a different level. Mm-hmm. And that level is we are taking the problems of farmers. And while we are a lobby group, we have no financing, we have no support from anybody. We're doing these things on our own with the support of our members, our farmers who are our members. Now, basically, our members who have issues to deal with, whether there's the road infrastructure, whether it's ponding, whether it's this flooding, whatever have you, we have an office which is in Carigny on Docks Kampong. Farmers come in there, we deal with them, we handle their issues that they can't handle themselves. Mm-hmm. And now this now takes us to a different level. And that level is, where are we going to go now with these farmers who have issues that we cannot support, we cannot assist them with? And that is where we have been working with certain government agencies. Getting through, slow but sure. So these are the issues that we have with farmers. Like, for instance, over 70% of food we get in Trinidad and Tobago is produced by farmers who are on lands that do not belong to them. In varying ways, squatters, lease, rentals, you know, that kind of thing. People who occupy land, and they're producing something for the nation. So you will find that the farmers who are in these or on these properties, who are producing on these properties, cannot access any sort of a grants, can't get anything from the Ministry of Agriculture, basically, because they do not have title to the property.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens now is that you will find that these farmers have to produce things on their own and nothing else. We have been able to negotiate with the ministry and the county offices of the Ministry of Agriculture to at least have these farmers now with a guarantee document from us, from our grouping, to verify that they have been on their property for more than 5 years, that they can now get a one-year farmer's badge. That's a big help for these farmers. It's a huge help. And in that case now, what you will have now is that they are now able to get the grants so they can continue what they are doing in a bigger way.
That's interesting. We've had discussions with several stakeholders in agriculture, and this issue of tenure and the badge and the grant and all these things is, it's a big deal. And farmers, from all the discussions, seem to have had their backs against the wall in trying to get this done. Sills Farmers Support Group, you're operating independently.
Yes.
You're not in association with any of the other players.
No.
Because we have the Agricultural Society and many other groups and all of these things. We hear about them. But this organization, you're operating aside and apart from all of those.
Definitely.
How many farmers do you represent?
We have on our database over 3,800 farmers right now.
Okay. That's a significant
it
number.
Is.
And I'm assuming that the intention is to grow that number.
Definitely.
How
we're
can,
hoping by the end of this year to have at least 10,000 members.
How can people get involved?
Simple. We have an office. We have an office in Carigny. Oh, what is significant is that we have been working with a lot of our members and we are getting things done for them.
Mm.
And in that this case, for instance, like, you know, whether it's roads, whether it's ponds, whether it is, we are now introducing our youth arm. We have a woman's arm, we have the youth arm. And strange enough, you know, we also now have a backyard gardening section. Would you believe we have about nearly 568 members who are backyard gardening people?
Now we have a raging discussion about backyard garden, and there are some of our callers who are adamant that is the way to go. And
it is.
And I've seen people involved in it. It's not for everyone. That's a given. Not everyone can engage in backyard gardening. Some people just do at a time. Some people make excuses and everything else. But I understand the value of it, even though I play devil's advocate when the topic comes up and everything else. But let's, before we get to backyard gardening and one of the and some of the other mechanisms that people can use, tell us about some of the problems that the farming community in this country are grappling with. Land tenure is one. What
one
else?
Is that, right? Mm-hmm. But you see, there are so many problems. Let us deal with the pressing problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. We know we have flooding problems in the country. We can't do anything about it because climate change is here, right? We have that to deal with. But we also have something called perennial larceny.
Mm-hmm.
We also have something called pests, like the African snails. What is also happening now is that farmers now have to actually prepare themselves for the dry season, like right now. And it is costly, very costly, to rent an excavator or a backhoe to come and dig a pond so they can store water for the dry season. What we have noticed is that water, right, is becoming, it must get some bacteria because it's stagnant water. And now the farmers now have to get chemicals and fertilizers to counteract that. That was not there before because they had fresh, clean water, whether it's from a river or whether it's from a lake or whatever the case is. So now we have that issue to deal with. So what is creating the problem now is that farmers now have to expend more money in chemicals and fertilizers, which obviously went up because of freight, because of COVID, because of everything. And of course, we have to address the situation of perennial larceny. This is a major problem. And while I was coming on the road, I understand you were talking about an issue yesterday in the Carsonville area, right? But the situation is that farmers, you know, it's not only in that area. We're talking about farmers all over the country.
Yeah, you're right. And I've dealt with some farmers. There's a gentleman that I know, he was harvesting pimento peppers recently. We all know that is gold at this point in time. That is real money.
Well, not again.
Well,
it's gone back down.
But at the time, it was very, very expensive. Yeah. Pimento and hot peppers.
Mm-hmm.
And people going in Tiffany Manning.
Yeah.
And they take in plenty. When they move in there, they take in bags and bags of this thing so that they can carry it and obviously sell it and make real money. He didn't have any recourse whatsoever. Yes.
That's the problem.
He had nobody to go to that he could say, well, listen, this is what is taking place. And the farming sector is so unregulated, for want of a different term. You don't know who's a farmer. You don't know where they get produce from. You don't know who's a middleman. So you really don't know who you can single out and say, well, you see you where you get that from. Is that, how do you approach the issue of perennial larceny to or to address some of these things?
Let us deal with the problem. The problem is that one. You remember this issue the ministry had with catching snails for $5 a pound?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what that did? That sent people into people's gardens and not only catch snails, but they catch the people's produce also and walked away with it. So that was not a very good way to go. Let us deal with perennial larceny.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the solution is we need to boost the perennial larceny squad. Let's be realistic. It's where it is right now, it is not operating properly. I want to make it very clear. I had a meeting with the minister regarding that with our members, and I am happy to say that the minister has, together with our group, we have found a solution. The minister has taken a note to cabinet to get the supplemental budget necessary for this to be done, to be well staffed, proper proper management, proper vehicles, and that kind of thing. So we know for a fact this is going to happen within maybe this week, next week. We know this is going to happen. A lot of the people who were in that squad, that Peter Larson, the people who knew the areas, who knew the, you know, just like the police, the Peter Larson police officers know who the people are thieving, who thieved the guns, you know, in the areas. They know who they are. So they can pinpoint who could thief what and when they could thief and how they can thief it. So basically, it is a matter of getting this entire thing to gel properly. Get back those people in the force, get new people in the force, train them properly, so we will have a clear idea of where we are going with Peter Larceny. It is not a matter of shutting it down. You understand? Mm-hmm. If you have four or five officers now, something still can be done. What I'm saying, the solution is to make sure it operates properly. That is the key to this whole thing.
I remember in years gone by, I'm not too sure if it's the case now, farmers would build a ranch, quote-unquote ranch, on the land,
mm-hmm.
and practically live there.
Correct.
To get away, or to try to discourage persons from coming onto the property.
It still happens.
But we've had instances during COVID, for example, in Aranguez, with some people who were selling celery, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
the man and wife living on the land.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bandits come and beat them up and brutalize mm-hmm. them and all that, and still take the people thing. So it's a tough thing for farmers. Farmers don't necessarily have access to firearms the way that the average individual would be getting. And they seem to be on the back foot. So you say making it gel together, making it work together, this re-energized Pradya Larceny squad that you're expecting as a result of these talks with the agriculture minister and the government and everything else, what can farmers expect?
Out of what we discussed,
mm-hmm.
we asked for new vehicles for many more offices, right? Offices in east, west, north, and south, actually, and sub-offices also. So there was going to be one major office, and that you're going to have now satellite offices off that. And they're going to be manned properly. And what is going to happen? We have some experts in the squad right now, but they are dormant. Experts who know the areas, who know the people, who know the farmers, who actually have farmers, like 300-400 farmers on group chats, right? And when something happens, that one person in the squad actually gets the information. And it's running. It's actually running right now. But because of the lack of equipment and manpower, you will find that it is not working properly. But we can tell you, right, who is doing what and where. So what the farmer has to do is to report this now to the normal police. Of course, that's another issue.
Well, there's a story in our Guardian newspaper here this morning with a gentleman who lives in Fredericks. I think it's in Carony or somewhere there. But he has a farm in Carson Field.
Mm-hmm.
And his story is calls for Peter Larceny squad to be disbanded. And this gentleman, somebody can't pick up the man livestock. And he found it in a farm nearby. Mm-hmm. Called the Peter Larceny squad. They tell the man, well, we can't come in, we are no vehicles. And their office is within eyesight of his farm. More resources is all well and good. But this story says to me that there needs to be a paradigm shift in how officers treat with reports as well. So, because I cannot for the life of me understand, and we're going to speak to him a little later on, I cannot understand for the life of me how anyone in the Peter Larceny squad could tell this man they can't deal with this matter when they could have walked down the road. So sub-office and office and more vehicle, I think it's all real nice. Are we changing the attitude of some of them?
I'll tell you how. You see, I have been encouraging our farmers, mm-hmm. our members, to get into technology also. And we have to go that way, you know.
Yeah.
You can't just depend on manpower, mm-hmm. right? Let's be realistic, right? The Peter Larceny squad here, in this particular case, yes, it's right next door, not too far. But how many times have we had break-ins right next door to a police station?
Yeah, but that don't make it right.
I'm not saying it's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying the occurrence is there. Because, one, if we can teach our farmers technology, the ministry now has a grant for cameras. We are advising our members to come into the office. As long as we have gotten your badge for you, whether it's a permanent badge or a one-year badge, you can get the grant for that. We have partnered with companies who can do these things for us, right, at reasonable price. Now, it's a grant they're getting, everything monitored. Now, this is the way we have to go to help, to assist the Preacher Lassie's God. That is what we need to do.
Okay.
You understand? We need to take agriculture and technology and mix them. We need to get it working right.
Okay. I understand where you, and well, it's an honorable intention. And it's probably, as you're saying, the right way that we need to go. But we know that in this country, the wheels of change turn very, very slowly. I'm hoping that with the assurance you're giving here this morning, that this thing is going to cabinet, that sometime soon farmers can get a reprieve. Because it's a tough thing. I've never been involved, but I can imagine that when just when you're about to reap your harvest, somebody just walk in the day before and thief wherever it is you support and leave you high and dry. And this instance here, this gentleman, I'm not too sure this one is going to work out, but there are many other people. I've seen these stories on social media where people are saying that their livestock, they're this, they're that, the next, the other, just gone missing. And there's a level of frustration that you can tell where people don't think that anybody cares or that anybody is on their side or wants to make a difference to stop these criminals from doing whatever it is they're doing. I mean, the ministry, we've spoken to some people from the Ministry of Agriculture and they've spoken about where you're purchasing your meat and all that kind of thing because you have people poaching animals and selling it and you ain't too sure about the health. And so they've taken that approach to it. The Preacher Lassie issue is definitely a major one for the farmers. We need to get into some more of the other issues confronting the nation's farmers. What are some of those?
Let us be realistic now. We have to talk about the infrastructure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Farmers, okay, let's take the farmers in the Felicity area. Farmers down there producing sweet potatoes. We produce in that area over 4 million pounds of sweet potatoes per annum. And we have been fighting to get that bridge over the Honda River repaired. The bridge collapsed, it went down in the river, and we have been fighting since then to now to get that bridge. Now, what happens? They have to take their produce to go to Makoya Market and the other markets, the wholesale markets, and make rounds like about nearly 50 minutes of extra driving to get their produce out. Now, in that particular case, when a farmer leaves home at 12 o'clock in the night to get to Makoya for 3 o'clock because the Makoya opens at 3, he leaves his family at home. He has to go out there with probably one loader with his sweet potatoes on his vehicle. He has to go through that, I think they call it the Tasca Road. Very lonely area. Have you heard about some farmers being robbed when they're coming back from the market? It is because of the fact that they know the farmers are coming back with money and they are prey. They fall prey to them. This is the problem. The thing about it is that if we cannot get that little bit of infrastructure done, a simple thing as a bridge, right? I went to the Ministry of Works. I went to Ministry of Local Government. I went to the Ministry of Agriculture. The Ministry of Agriculture has the engineering department, right? That could help. But yet, I can't get that to work because it's not a Ministry of Works bridge. It is not local government. It was built by the EMBDA or whatever it is, and it was a faulty bridge. The bridge is down. It's broken. How can we look to get that support back to help those farmers? Infrastructure is very, very critical. Roads, right? Now, we can complain about the roads outside there, and we see what is happening on the main roads and the highways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is 20 times worse with our secondary roads for farmers. It is so bad that we just came from Curacao Road. You're talking about a farmer who stays on their property. We have a couple who plant peppers and hot peppers in Curacao Road. Because of the collapse of the Curacao Road, it has dropped about maybe 15 feet down and it is continuing to move. The vehicles can't pass. This lady and her husband have to stay on their property in a little camp. She has to leave her children somewhere else to go to school. She leaves the camp, her husband stays there in the day. She goes, prepares food for her children, leaves it for her children, come back in the camp and they stay there in the night because they can't pass to get in their own land. That is how desperate these people are. We highlighted this about a week ago. We highlighted this problem. Infrastructure is one of the major issues we have in Trinidad regarding, you know, our farming community.
Mm.
What we need to do is to get, you know, a solution for this.
We need to take a couple messages, and when we get back, we continue our discussions here this morning on this very, very interesting issue. Farmers farming, some of the issues confronting them. Our special guest, president of SILS Farmers Support Group, Bindra Maharaj. We'll be taking some of your calls when we get back as well on 627-3223 and 625-2257. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. Our special guest this morning, president of the SILS Farmer Support Group, Bindra Maharaj. Let's take some of your calls. 627-3223, 625-2257. Discussing the issue of agriculture, some of the challenges confronting our farmers. Let's see who we have with us. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish.
Good morning to you.
And good morning to Mr. Bindra. Is Bindra?
Yes, good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to put the situation out there for people. Anyone who have been affected in terms of radio loss, you need to go to any police station and make a report. You do not have to go to specifically to the radio loss unit to make a report. So the farmer who was affected in Carson Field, if you went there and you were too long, you could go to the nearest police station in your area and make a report. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you much for that. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, this is Councillor Ryan here. So I just want to tell you of an experience I had with the Prettier Larceny, as well as the TTPS, normal TTPS. I have my garden in the Korea Village area in Chaguanas. And last year I would have lost watermelons when it was ready for picking, probably about $40,000 in watermelons or so. I came a morning when I was ready to pick, and the thieves went with it. And it was like pulling teeth to make that report after. When I went to the TTPS, I went to Chaguanas Police Station, they insisted that I go to Prettier Larceny. I went to Prettier Larceny. These guys had no vehicles at all. They took my report. Up to this day, they never came. I was told that Freeport could have helped them. Freeport Police Station could have helped them with vehicles. I went to Freeport. Basically, it was just running in circles. And that entire system still needs to be worked out to, you know, so that farmers could benefit from this service. Prettier Larceny unit is existing, but my humble opinion is that it is not functioning properly, right? There still needs to be some proper review for this to work in the favor of the farmers. So that was since last year, like June or July, and I am still awaiting a site visit from Prettier Larceny unit. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your call. 627-3223, 625-2257. Hello, good morning.
Good morning once more, Satish. Satish, I don't have a question, but I have a contribution, and your guest can probably respond to it. Yes, Prettier Larceny is a big problem, and my suggestion is that everybody selling any fruits or vegetables should be able to prove where they get it. And that is to say, if you are a vendor, you're buying, you should have some form of registration, you should have a license. If it is that you're a farmer, you should have a farmer's badge. And the reason for that is that many times people lost their crops. And one is difficult to identify. But secondly, anybody can say, well, okay, I bought it from somebody at the wholesale market. So this thing is not properly monitored, is not properly registered. So that's one of the things. The other thing is that we have the Prettier Larceny squad. Now, Bastio Pandey started that, and that was good, but it was never continued to progress. And the reason is that, take, for instance, that farmer in Carlson Field who lost his animals. If the Predial Larceny Squad were to go and do some investigation and find the animals, what are they going to do? They don't even have a vehicle that they could seize the animals, put the animals in a truck or something, and take it away. You know, so it needs a complete revamping, and I am not quite sure why the Predial Larceny Squad is not attached to the division. It should have been, and there should be a proper networking. So any police station that one goes to, the police station, the officers at the station will contact Predial Larceny and get the job done, rather than you have to go from here to there and so on. But so that's my take. I mean, there can be a lot, but of course I wouldn't take up all your time. Thank you, enjoy.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. A quick comment?
I think the call is correct. I think he's right in terms of, yes, the squad needs revamping, which is what we are advising the ministry right now. We have had the discussions, and the discussions are continuing. The first thing is that we need to get cabinet's approval, and I know the minister is working on that. That I'm positive, I'm sure about. Give us a little bit more time with them to get these things going. We have some solutions, and we are working with them to get the squad working once and for all, because our members are suffering also. So we need to do something for our members, and it is going to be done.
News is next, and when we get back after the 8 o'clock news, we continue our discussions on this issue of farmers, some of the challenges confronting them. Our special guest, President of the Sales Farmer Support Group, Bindra Maharaj, will be with us. We'll be speaking about some of the markets that they engage themselves in, some of the benefits, and some of the things that have been identified by those markets as well. More of your calls, more of your comments as well. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. 3.5 minutes after 8 in the final hour of our show. With us, President of the Sales Farmer Support Group, Bindra Maharaj. Let's take some more of your calls as we continue. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Satish. I'm calling from the Princeton area, a popular area where Predial Larceny is prevalent, and you have a Predial Larceny squad in St. Julian, Princeton there. It amazes me what you read on your news there, where the guy that lost his produce animals, and it was close by, no vehicles, no staff and what have you. But when this Predial Larceny squad was in this area here, they have vehicles, and it's amazing that you see them, you know, be honest with you see them with their glass off, the officers. They come by the station, Princeton, they do their stuff, and they just go back in the office, and it's just like a spin, and they have vehicles. So and then you see them on certain areas, you know, certain things. So it wonders to me if they're really shortage, or if they just have a job, and when people call it, they deny it to go. I just asking a suggestion. So I think if it's revamping, they need to put more stringent measure, maybe take fresh officers, recruit fresh officers rather than the ones that are already there. Because most of the Predial Larceny officers are retired regular officers and go on SRP. And you know what that gives? That gives, A, we are not guests, we join our salary, let me cool ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. Catherine's one?
Well, it goes back to the same thing we said earlier. I mean, you know, yes, let us be a little bit more patient. We are working, we are steady behind this issue. We have the solutions, and we are going to deal with it.
Let's, we'll take a couple more calls in just a bit, but there's something that I want us to get into before the program wraps up. I know I've been seeing on social media some of these markets that the Sales Farmer Support Group has been involved in. And it I don't know if it's fashioned similar, if it's the same, or the Ministry of Agriculture has these pop-up markets, for want of a different term, on a Saturday.
Yeah.
There's one in Shogunas, but opposite Heartland Plaza, that has been there for a long period of time. And when it was launched by Clarence Rambarat, who was minister at the point in time, he said that one of the things that it was intended at doing was giving farmers the opportunity to come and sell their produce and cut out the middleman, so that they'd be able to capitalize on their sales and make the money and all of that kind of thing. Since then, we've heard stories of middlemen getting farmers' badge and moving in there and selling things. People stealing stuff, have a farmers' badge one way or the other, and going in and selling. And it's not necessarily worked the way that we were told that it would have.
Correct.
What's the experience that you've been having with your markets?
Well, basically, as I said, we're a lobby group. we're doing this thing on our own without any assistance from anybody. We do have some support from Corporate Trinidad and Tobago. We do. What we have done, we are actually only taking our farmers who are members of our group to sell in our market. Because that is the way we need to go.
Well, that I'm assuming would weed out all of these miscreants.
Correct. Totally correct. So we know who our members are, right? So we can know Farmer X has dashing bush, this one has shadow benny, this one has peppers, whatever the case is. And what has happened, because we are doing this thing regularly now, we know our farmers more and more because they're coming back. They're insisting they want to come back. Farmers are saying, I want my spot. I want that spot. I want that corner. A little bit superstitious, I guess. You know, they get and they do it well. So they want to get back that same spot. We did one Saturday gone. I want to tell you that because of the farm to table, from farmers directly from the plantation to the table, we, and I'm boasting about this, at the Sales Farmer Support Group have been able to assist in bringing the prices down. How? We advertise prices in times of high. When tomatoes was like $15 and $20 a pound, we advertise it for $10. Because that is what the farmer is selling it at. The difference is what the middleman made. That's the problem. When Sai was selling for $15 at December, we had Sai 2 for $10. A farmer brought it and sold it on that day for that price. Pumpkin on Saturday sold for $2. Sweet peppers sold for $10. And so we went on. Sai was 2 for $10. If you go in the market, it's $8 for a Sai. This is the way we need to go. And this is what I've been trying to get the thinking that we have. It's experience now because we have done it. It worked. It's working. So if we can get the hot peppers now on Saturday, the farmers brought plenty goods. You know what we did? We made some calls. Some of the fast food people came down and bought all the hot peppers out. They bought all the sweet peppers, the shadow benny, the scythe, the celery. They bought it out because while the farmers had plenty, what remained, they sold it out. You were talking about pimentos. You know what pimentos sold for Saturday? $4.25 or so on.
These are some amazing prices. Where is this? Okay, for the people who may not be familiar with the market and where it's held and all that, give us some more information.
It's basically right the opposite in license office in Carony. In at Doc's compound, Doc's Homes.
Right. That's the entrance to Frederick Settlement.
Right there on Walker Street. So you just drive in there, you have parking, you have security, you know, it's free parking. You just come. Come and see what we have. And I got a media, social media response. A lady said to me, I bought some limes from you all at the first market. Do you all have any more? I'm on my last one. This is about a month ago she bought it. I need to come and get some more. She said, it's the best lime I've had. This is a lime that a farmer picked in the morning and brought it to sell it. 5 limes for $10. We got oranges. Everybody's selling 5 oranges for $20. We sold 7 oranges for $20 on Saturday. We sold 15 to 18 dashing bush leaves for $5.
What's the okay? I applaud the ingenuity, and the farm to table is always, I think, best.
Correct.
Because somebody I know is selling pak choy. They pick the thing and $5, and I have never seen pak choy as crispy as that before. And I didn't know it was, I guess when you get it fresh, that you could understand what it is like. So fresh produce is always the best way to go. Cutting out the middleman obviously takes the price down. How can we maintain the level? Because what could happen, as Namdevko has seen, the price them people selling for in their market is the same price they're selling for in the other markets and them. So how do you, can you maintain that level of pricing structure so that it doesn't end up to be a regular market and you're paying the same price all over the place?
The name Farmers Market is important.
Right.
That is critical. Namdevko has a market. Difference. Big difference.
Right.
A market is not a farmer's market. I can guarantee our prices because you know why? We know our members. That is the difference. The members of our group are farmers. We were talking about the backyard gardening a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. On Saturday, we had 15 single mothers who were selling stuff in the market from their backyard. 15. These mothers would have been probably, you know, outside their kitchen helping make a dollar. They made some dollars on Saturday. I am happy to say that some of them now can send their children to school. They can buy the books, they can buy snacks, they can buy what they want for children. And they also have produce in their backyard. One particular lady is planting in, you know, those oil kegs?
Yeah, that's a big deal.
That's what she's planting in.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of scythe she brought, the amount of shadow benny, and the fine thyme,
mm-hmm.
She sold out every one by 9:30 in the morning.
What time does the market run
it
from?
It starts at 6 and finishes at 11.
Okay.
But we went until 12
mm-hmm.
this Saturday because there was extra
too much,
goods.
Right. So, is it going to be every Saturday? How does it run?
Yeah, it's going to be every Saturday from this Saturday on. Every Saturday.
Okay. I know that there are bargain hunters. Well, let me just say bargain hunters. There are people trying to make ends meet.
Yeah.
A bargain hunter gives a certain kind of connotation. These people are looking for food.
Right.
And affordable food as well.
And that's the difference, eh? People have to eat. And we have to make sure that our farmers produce enough for people to eat. Food yeah. security is critical for us.
Let's as we're almost out of time for the interview, if there are those of you who'd like to join the discussion, now's the time to call us. 627-3223-625-2257. I've seen some of the videos posted on social media about the markets that you've held and about the attendance and all those things. Let's see who's with us. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Tatius. Morning to you.
Good morning.
I have a question for your guest. Calling from Chin Chin. I have a relative who plants in Maloney and get in trouble to get his farmer's badge. He could get any assistance?
Call us at 320-3150.
320-3150. Thank you.
3150.
Yeah, just repeat the number again.
320-3150.
And I'm assuming that's for anyone who would want to
anybody
join
who wants
your
to,
organization.
Yeah.
Take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hi, morning.
Morning.
I have a little issue with my farmer's badge. I'm an ex-carrying worker who has a 3-acre plot. Now, I need to get access to a loan, and what it is that I'm trying to get is money to fund my garden to start up. But they're not giving me a badge. They don't want to sign my thing to get a badge because I have to show them my planting. If I don't have money and I'm trying to get any, people need to see my farmer's badge to see that. How could I get that badge?
That is not something I think we cannot deal with. That is a simple matter. I don't understand why you should be having it. I would advise you to come into our office right there in Kearney. You're not far from us. And let us deal with this matter for you. If you are at the Kearney Extension office, I can probably talk to somebody there to assist you and probably help you.
I went to the branch in Chase Village. Branch in Chase Village, and the guy said that they cannot give that to come and visit the land to make sure I'm planting. And if I could, I'm an ex-Kearney worker, I should be entitled to my farmer's badge.
There are certain rules and regulations, listen, there are ways we can probably help, but I can't tell you now, look, this is the reason. But if the people have rules and regulations, we need to work with them and or work around it. I'm saying that we may be able to help you. You can call us 320-3150, ask them for Kumari, Ramlal, and I'm pretty sure we can probably work out something for you.
320-3150. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your call. We're almost out of time. I find these discussions... Oh, more calls? Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd just like to say something. There's absolutely no such thing as a one-year farmer's badge. Absolutely nothing.
Let me stop you one time. You're totally wrong. You're incorrect. You're totally wrong, right? I am telling you, you are wrong. I am saying that we have gotten these farmers badges for people already. So please get your information correct.
Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Satish, morning. Your guest is Mr. Benjamin Raj, is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I called a bit earlier, but I wasn't listening much before that, so I wasn't sure what the direction was in the conversation. But I heard that you would have made recommendations, you and your organization would have been making recommendations to the Ministry on Agriculture Issues. And I just want to ask, was one of the recommendations in dealing with Prydia larceny, you have hundreds of ex-carney workers with these two-acre parcels, right? And one of the observations is that if you have an on-site farmhouse where you could house a worker or two, right, that would significantly help with the issue of Prydia larceny. But as it is right now, I don't think that they are allowed to build anything on these plots, these two-acre plots, right?
We have that changed. I think we have had negotiation with them, and you are allowed to build a worker's house.
You're sure about that, or you're thinking that that direction is going to go? Because as it is right now, I know many of the two-acre farmers, the farmers who own the 2 acres, EMBD officers come and stop them when they attempt to build.
Well, let me tell you something. Again, Ryan, this is something we can discuss. I am pretty sure I have had farmers in the Carony 2 acre areas who have been able to put something down. It may not have been a structure like, you know, a fancy structure, but people are allowed to build a structure for some sort of a housing. I want to be honest with you. A lot of people went and take the people land and were building fancy structures, real fancy structures. Mm-hmm. And that is what they're not allowing.
Mm-hmm. Understood. But if the legitimate farmers can be allowed to have a proper structure to house a worker, we're not talking about a shed facility alone, but, you know, where someone can stay, definitely that would help with Prydia larceny. Because even with all the camera systems, even if you have all the vehicles and so on for Prydia larceny, having on-site personnel is the best solution.
I want to add that there is a grant also for fencing of your property also, eh? And these grants we have been able to access for certain farmers.
Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Satish. Calling from Manzan. Satish, the farmer's card. I have been applying for farmer's card since 1990. And every 3 years, you go, well, before they had it, the farmer's card were without expiry date. However, now they bring in it expiry date. And every 3 years, you go to apply for a farmer's card, you must submit your detail.
Okay, caller. I'm going to have to end your call there because it's a bit noisy. But I think he's speaking about the requirements.
Yeah. It may be a little bit, the requirements are there. We can't do anything about it. We can try to negotiate with them again. But I want to make it very clear. There are two things I want to just address before we close.
Sure.
The ADB has an unsecured loan of $20,000 for farmers to start up their farms. So a lot of farmers are getting that. Remember, a gentleman said he couldn't get his farm farmer's badge because he has nothing on the land. He's looking for a loan. The ADB has a loan for that. That is one thing he can access now. And the Carony, those that Ryan just called, they can build a shed. I'm sure about that. They can build a shed, but they can't build a house, as far as we know. So the ex-workers can build a shed, you know, but not a fancy house as what people are talking about. And this I'm sure about what I'm saying, or I'm very correct in the assumption of what we are saying here.
Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hey, good morning again, Satish. I'm the one, Mr. Benjo, again. Yes, I want to agree with Mr. Benjo. Once you have those county lands and you were given a lease, meaning that you have title document, if you read your lease, you will see you'll be given a specific area in terms of where you can build a shed. Not necessarily a shed, you can build something in terms of housing tools, etc., and they give you the dimension in terms of what you are not able to cross.
Thank you for the information.
Not allowed to cross a lot of land.
Okay, thank you so much. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Alan. Well, I'm not a farmer, but I just keep continuing And I think actually that's what I'm doing. Because if I am registered to produce melangen and tomato, and I share the market with cocoa and buy them, well, cocoa and something else, then I might have to explain how I get them other goods. And I'll tell you something else. People who steal goods often sell to people, other people who within the selling market. And if you kind of have a way of knowing who is authorized to bring water, who's planting or producing what, then you'll kind of know where some producing is being sold and maybe be able to check on their land. Just that's what's in my mind.
I know
it might be inconvenient for some people to plan in advance, but maybe that's something that they should be doing, checking on the properties, especially where they're legal for agriculture. They check on the property from year to year and determine what is being produced on these lands. I mean, if the land will belong to the state, what corporations are the case maybe a good for agricultural business.
All right, Paul, I'm going to have to end your caller because we definitely have a problem at 625-2257. He's basically suggesting a database.
Basically, yeah.
Basically, where you track which farmer is producing mm-hmm. what, so that if farmer A shows up with something that he yeah. is not known to be... But how logistically possible is something like that in an industry?
That is happening right now.
Okay.
We have that done, our database with our farmers. We can tell you, and I've shown this to people in the ministry, we are telling you with our farmers what they produce, how they produce it, when they start, when they're going to reap. So what is happening now, a lot of our farmers are not getting caught in the glut situation, because we are telling them now, okay, look, so-and-so, he producing 40, this gentleman producing 40 acres of tomatoes right now. He's going to reap this by now, and so. So don't plant tomatoes now, plant okra. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And then after he's done, you can start with tomatoes. So what we are doing now, we are having a progress report for all our members, what is happening where and who's producing what. Like, for instance, on Sunday, we were at the Toko Lighthouse in Toko. The farmers are starting to look now. We have a problem for water up there, and they're producing watermelon up there. Watermelon is starting to come in the Toko area now, right? So we are telling our farmers in Bish and in Kernahan, hear what? Plant now, because you will reap after they are finished up there. You follow the logic?
Yeah, I do.
So the problem is this. That situation, right, we can only do so much, because there's five of us in our office, volunteers. The ministry needs to look at this app that we have,
the model,
and look at it and try and implement it. So the extension officers and the extension offices, like, for instance, the Karani Extension Office, right? I am telling you, I can get data out of there like nothing. I call, I said, you know what? I need to find out how many registered farmers in the Karani area. In a matter of 10 minutes, a lady gave it to me, 8,000. In one area, you know, 8,000 farmers registered with farmers badge, you know.
How many of them are active?
The problem is this. I can get that information, right? There are about 6,800 farmers in that area active.
You know what I find, because I've had these discussions before, when you hear these numbers of farmers, it's astronomical.
It is.
You have 30, 40,000 farmers mm-hmm. registered, and then you have about the same amount not registered. And then we always find that, well, we're short of this and we're short of that, and we don't have enough of this, we have too much of that.
Yeah.
And this kind of, I don't want to say rostering, but monitoring of production is long, long, long overdue.
It is. That is why we have started with our members. That is why we and our members can come at our market and sell and have that produced to sell at those prices.
Let's talk about that market.
Sure.
What about plants? I'm assuming that now that the word is out and people realize that, well, this is in my interest, the interest in it is going to grow, which means that public participation is going to become more and more and more. Are there plans to make this something more permanent or extend it or expand? Or what's the plan for it?
To do this from a voluntary perspective is difficult. We are not NAMDEVCO.
What about a cooperative type style something?
The cooperative works, but I want you to understand farmers are people who are very, very careful who to deal with and how you deal with them, right? Farmers will get up 4 o'clock in the morning to bring their goods to sell, but they want to go home, right, by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, because they want to go back in the land to either cut more goods or prepare something, spray, water, whatever have you. Farmers don't come to meetings. We go to farmers. That's the difference. Hence the reason why I'm saying to you that you can have an association like what we have, a group, right? And that is where they were. That is the area. That is how they will participate. You understand? We go out to Chatham. We go to Navet and Toko, like we were in Toko yesterday, right? Doing some work up there. We went and we checked the people. And that is the kind of way people, farmers, associate with you. You go out there to talk to them. You go to meet with them. You go and deal with their problems. That's a lot of work. That is the work, that is the job of the extension officers of the Ministry of Agriculture. Those extension officers, Monday to Friday, should be outside. They should have a certain amount of farmers. Let's look at Karani, for instance. If you have 6,500 active, you need to have enough extension officers in that office to deal with a certain amount of farmers, training the farmers, teaching the farmers about all the different aspects of what you can use, what you cannot use, what is for pests. Expect the locusts to come in at this time. You understand? Let us prepare for them. These are the areas that we need to start to talk to the Ministry of Agriculture about. We need to take it to a different level. We need to find out what is happening with the engineering section. Why is it not active enough to assist farmers? Those are the areas that need to be addressed, because if we can get the ministry to work with our farmers and the extension officers, I mean, this is their job, you know. This is what we are paying them to do. Taxpayers paying these people. So let us get them to do their jobs. That's all I'm saying.
I know that I've had you for much longer than I'm supposed to, but as we wrap up, let's give some, just repeat the information on the markets and what people can get so that they'll want to come.
On Saturday coming again, we will be having our market, our farmers market. Farmers directly selling to the public and to wholesalers. We have linked up with the Supermarkets Association. We have linked up with some of the fast foods businesses. They are buying from our farmers directly now, and their prices have dropped. Signal, the biggest fast food people now, they have pepper sauce because they got peppers on Saturday at a very reasonable price. And the person was very shocked. She said, I want all, taking all. These are the things we are doing. So on Saturday coming, we start at 6 o'clock. We finish at 11 o'clock. Farmers directly to the public and to the wholesalers, direct.
Definitely something each and every one of you should at least go down and see for yourself what's there.
I probably have breakfast too, because we have a food court.
Oh, really?
Yes, we do.
I'll tell you this. I know that some people don't like market at all. And there are some people who see it as a real experience. Going to the market and, you know, having something to eat on a Sunday morning or Saturday morning and going to meet the farmers and see what's there. I love going to the market. I really do.
Do you know that is also a stress reliever?
It releases
stress.
I would believe that. I really would. So it's an invitation for each and every one of you to go on down to the Sills Farmers Support Group on Saturday morning. Starts at 6 and see what's there for you. Might be some bargains. You may forge a link one way or the other that can see you having some benefit moving down. Mr. Maharajan, thank you for being with us here this morning. It's been a very interesting discussion.
Thank you.
We'll monitor how things go.
Sure.
Because this issue of food production is something that I don't think as a nation we're on the ball. And we need to definitely have some more discussions to point us in the right direction.
We need to get the support. We ourselves, we need support. We need that support.
And we hope that you get it.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.